Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Sales et al. Titled, Aerobic Exercise Acutely Prevents the Endothelial Dysfunction Induced by Mental Stress Among Subjects with Metabolic Syndrome, The Role of Shear Rate. This article published online February 15, 2014. My guests today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Lead Author Antonio Nobrega, and Expert David Poole. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. This study talks about endothelial dysfunction, which is an important early effect of many cardiovascular diseases. This serves as a prognostic indicator of downstream target organ damage. And one risk factor for developing endothelial dysfunction is the multifactorial condition called metabolic syndrome, which is characterized by elevated plasma lipids, high blood pressure, insulin resistance, and obesity. In addition, mental stress has long been suspected to be an independent risk factor for endothelial dysfunction. Therefore, when individuals with metabolic syndrome are exposed to mental stress, it's to be expected that vascular complications could be profound. This study investigated the ability of lower limb exercise to ameliorate acute endothelial dysfunction that's associated with mental stress in individuals with metabolic disorder. They found that a bout of exercise prior to a mental stress episode prevented the acute development of endothelial dysfunction. Antonio, can you elaborate on the physiological implications of your findings?
Yes, Nancy, thank you. The physiological implications of this is first, exercise has a preventive effect on endothelial function in terms of not permitting that mental stress causes the dysfunction. Another important point is that patients with metabolic syndrome, not only healthy patients, would be susceptible to cardiac events, as you mentioned in the introduction, when submitted to mental stress. So the major findings of this study is that just one session of exercise would be able to protect these subjects against the endothelial function caused by mental stress.
Thank you, Antonio. David, would you like to comment on the aspects of this study that you find most compelling and maybe some questions that you still have for Antonio regarding their interpretation of their data?
Yes, very happy to. One of the things that I liked most about this study was the ecological validity, some of which Antonio has just spoken about. For many years, we've been trying to sell exercise as something that may pay off in the end. But like John Tiefel, Frank Booth, showing that a single bout of exercise or just changing what we do in a single day can change the way we deal with blood glucose. Now we're seeing here an imperative for changing endothelial function, which I think is absolutely fascinating, very ecologically valuable. It also opens up some very, very interesting questions regarding the regulation and specifically the interplay between the sympathetic nervous system, for example, and local vasoregulatory mechanisms. That the figure, actually figure 7 that Antonio presents showing the change in flow-mediated dilation versus shear rate is absolutely compelling. It's a very tight relationship, and it speaks, you know, beautifully to the control of these processes locally. But the balance between vasoconstriction and vasodilation, you know, I think parts of that pathway are still very, very open to investigation and very potentially exciting and information-rich.
And did you have any questions that you would like to pose to Antonio on either their interpretation or future directions for this study?
What I'd like to ask Antonio is, what would he be willing to speculate, or does he have data, if you roll the clock forward 10 or 15 years on this population of patients?
Thank you, David. As a matter of fact, we are running a study with elder subjects doing more or less the same protocol. We don't have the data yet to tell you exactly what happened. But our impression is that elder subjects will show the same pattern of response. Maybe the magnitude of the effect is not the same, and it depends on also which risk factors they carry. But nevertheless, I'd like to go back a little bit on not only the physiological effect, but also the clinical implication of this study. It's really a combination of protocols that give us a lot of hints in different directions. One of it is that we ran the protocol, different protocols, as I said. The first of it is we submitted the subjects to the 40 minutes exercise session after they have already gone through a mental stress challenge. It means that if you exercise after you've been submitted to a mental stress challenge, you still may be able to protect against the endothelial dysfunction. I think this is really important in terms of practical clinical aspect, because you may be able to prescribe someone exercise after they've been through a stressful situation and they still protect themselves against the endothelial dysfunction caused by mental stress. I think this is a really important point of this studies.
I completely agree. And can I follow up with a very brief question on this? Is that, can you please compare the severity of the stoop test that you used here to individuals who, for example, are working maybe on a grant application or a complex patient profile? Is it more stressful than you'd expect them to go through in their average day? Or do you think we go through bouts of these kind of stress in certainly the academic or the medical environments and so forth?
Oh, this is an excellent question, David. As a matter of fact, mental stress, it's a very complex challenge. The physiological response of each individual depends on a variety of factors, both internal and external. But the most important one, it's how you respond to it, both psychologically and physiologically. I would be tempted to say that this is not as stressful as it would be in the different daily life situation. For instance, it has been shown previously that talking, in public, it's probably the most stressful situation. So it would be very interesting to compare within a subject different stressful tasks to rate which one are most stressful for each subject. So your question is really, really very important for translation to daily life, but what I would tell you is that this is just a lab a proxy for a daily life stressful situation. And I would suspect that being submitted to a test like a school test would be more stressful than this test we used in the laboratory.
I was curious about your stress protocol as well, wondering, is mental stress something that's sort of cumulative and dose dependent, so that over a period of time you have increasing endothelial dysfunction with longer periods or more bouts of stress?
Oh, this is also a very important point. Yes and no. What I mean by that is that it seemed to have some cumulative effect, as you could suspect from the study itself. And we did find a cumulative effect as 60 minutes later, endothelial function was even worse than it was before when you did not exercise in between. What I mean by that is that, yes, you may have cumulative effects, but we don't know for how long this deleterious effect will last. So we are not sure at this point how often a mental stress challenge would be necessary to cause, I would say, daily long or long-lasting deleterious effect.
This is fascinating. David, you've done a lot of research on the benefits of exercise, and how do these results fit in with your observations on the effects of exercise and vascular function?
It reinforces the fact that exercise is good, but it forces us to start thinking, I think, more broadly about the mechanisms. Bengta Peterson and others have demonstrated that exercise causes an inflammatory-like response, but it's different from other kinds of stress that the body may perceive as potentially threatening. And if you have an underlying disease condition that is stress-related in certain conditions, for example, chronic heart failure, one of the more common longitudinal diseases in this country today, are these effects multiplicative? Is it worse for a patient who suffered a heart failure to undergo a certain kind of mental stress? And in that case, is it even more compelling that the exercise therapeutics that are recommended by this person's physician actually be undertaken? And it isn't so much an accumulation of exercise, maybe, as timing it relative to the particularly mentally stressful time periods in the day.
Thank you. And Antonio, do you have any last words that you would like to leave us with, your take-home message from this study?
In the second part of the paper, we blocked the increase in shear rate, the endothelial shear rate that happens during exercise, and this completely blocked the protective effect of exercise. As a take-home message, I would say that exercise is good for you, not on the long run, but also as a protective effect against acute deuterated effects such as the mental stress on the endothelial function.
So there you have it. Mental stress impairs endothelial function in individuals with metabolic syndrome, but 30 minutes of exercise can prevent or reverse this loss of function. All of us who experience mental stress on a regular basis might want to invest in an exercise bike for the office or take a walking break before a stressful meeting. Thank you, Antonio and David, for this enlightening and encouraging discussion on the benefits of exercise for our vascular health.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.